Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Tonight's the night that we come again to say hallelujah and praise to the living God. Tonight's the night that we just want to give God the praise and thanksgiving for the things that God has done for us today. And you know, I put on my Facebook and say 1 Chronicles 14, and Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that I would keep it me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him his request. My God Almighty. Where are we, men? Can we pray? I want you to hear these men tonight, Apostle Newsom and Pastor Irwin. They're going to talk to you very briefly from the Word of God. God bless you. Pastor, are you there? Apostle, are you there?
Yes. How's it going, Apostle?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm praising God.
Amen. God is good.
All the time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Ain't no God like the God we serve. No God.
No God.
No God.
He's wonderful.
Yes, he is. Well, tonight I know God has blessed you with a word to give to the people to hear, and may we be blessed with it. And we sit at the table, and we thank God for sitting at the table that God has used to prepare for us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Father, we just thank you, we love you, we appreciate you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And it's in the name of Yeshua that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I have some feedback.
Okay.
Well, if you would, turn your Bibles, those who are listening, I'd like to say hello to everyone who's listening all around the world. Thank God for you all listening and setting in, and I hope you have your Bibles with you. It's good not only to hear the word, but it's good to look at it while it's being taught. If you would, please turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 16, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 12. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." God is saying here, if you're faithful with the little, he knows that you'll be faithful with much. A lot of people say, God, give me more, and I'll be faithful. Give me more. But God says just the opposite. He said, no, you won't be faithful. He says, if you won't be faithful with what the little that you have, he says, if I give you more, he says, you won't be faithful. "If therefore ye have not been faithful," verse 11, "in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" The message tonight is faithfulness leads to promotion. Faithfulness leads to promotion.
Amen. Amen.
If you're faithful, God will promote you.
Yes.
That word faithful means to be devoted. If you're devoted, if you're trustworthy, it also means dependable. If you're dependable, can God depend on you? If he give you a small assignment, will you be on your post when you're supposed to be on your post? Will you carry it out? No matter how insignificant it may look or appear to be to you, will you carry it out? If you're an usher in the local church, will you be on post on time? Will you do your very best at your position? Will you be dependable? To be faithful means to be dependable, honest, devoted, trustworthy. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. Faithfulness leads to promotion. After you have been faithful, God will promote you. After you have been dependable, honest, devoted, trustworthy, God will promote you.
Yes,
He will promote you. Faithfulness leads to promotion.
Yes.
Faithfulness is your way up. Faithfulness is your way up. There will come a time when God will evaluate you. Let me say that again. There will come a time when God will evaluate you. He's going to look at you and evaluate your work. It's just like a boss on a job. After you've been there a while, he'll come by and he'll evaluate you to see if you're worthy of a promotion or not.
Well, God,
he will evaluate you. Yes. He's going to look in on you after a while to see if you've been faithful. And if you haven't been faithful, you will not be promoted. But if he looks at you and evaluates you and see that you have been faithful, surely he will promote you.
Sure,
look at Proverbs.
Sure.
Let me back that up with the scripture. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. Proverbs 28 verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Anytime you see shall or will, that's a promise from God.
That's a promise
Anytime
from God.
You see shall in the Bible, when God says he shall or he will, when you see shall or will, that's a promise from God.
That's a promise.
And he says if you're faithful, he says that you shall overflow with blessings.
Yes.
You're going to, good God Almighty, you're going to abound with blessings. He's going to bless you so much your cup is going to run over.
Yes.
You're going to have blessings coming out the ears. A faithful man shall, that's a promise, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, no doubt about it. So we have a promise here from God that if you are faithful, I don't care how things look like right now, things might look like they're not happening in your life, but all you ought to be concerned with is, are you faithful?
Are you faithful?
Are you faithful? Are you devoted to what you have in your hand right now? Are you faithful with what God has given you? Are you faithful with the assignment in church that God has given you? Can your pastor count on you? Are you a help to your pastor? Or are you a hindrance to your pastor? Are you help to your pastor? Or are you a headache to your pastor? Are you encouraging your pastor, or are you grieving your pastor? Are you making it so that your pastor is glad to see you?
My God,
or are you making it? Are you making it so that when your pastor see you, whoa, his stomach turns? A faithful man shall abound with blessings. And that's the message God has given me for you tonight. A faithful man, the Hebrew word is emunah. That's the Hebrew word for faithful, emunah. And it means to be devoted. It means to be trustworthy. It means to be dependable. Can God depend on you? All of us got enough to be faithful with.
Yes.
Whatever you, so what? It's a little. That's enough to be faithful with.
My God.
The scripture says those who are faithful over the few things, God will make you what? Ruler over much. You can be faithful with what you have in your hand right now. And that's my first point. My first point, we're going to look at three areas. We're going to look at four areas that we can be faithful in. three areas we must be faithful in to be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, we must be faithful with the little things. We must be faithful with the little things. Don't despise the little that you have. Just be faithful with it. Pastor, you might have three members. You might have two members. Don't despise your two members. Be faithful with them. Be faithful with what you have. You got enough to be faithful.
Faithful.
Don't despise your small beginnings.
Yes.
Look at Zechariah chapter 4. Don't despise. That word to despise means belittle. Count as nothing. Don't despise your small beginnings. You have enough to be faithful with.
Yes.
Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10 says, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." So God is saying here in the scripture, who has the nerve to despise the small things? Don't despise your small beginning. Work with what God has given you.
Yes. That's it.
Don't despise. God will test you with little things.
Yes, he will.
He'll test you. And you don't need to despise the little things that he tests you with. He will test you with little things to see if you're going to be faithful.
Yes.
He'll prove you. He'll test you. In other words, he knows what you're going to do already, but he'll prove to you if you're faithful or not by giving you something little.
Little. That's
to be faithful with. Don't blow your opportunity.
My God.
If God has given you a dollar, be faithful with your dollar. Be faithful with the little things. Don't despise. Don't belittle. Look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 17. "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." You see? Oh, glory to God. When you're faithful with a very little, God will make you, he'll give you more to manage. He'll give you more to be in charge of. He'll give you more if you're faithful with the very little. Do you see that in the scripture? "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant." He'll even call you a good servant. "Because thou hast been" what? "Faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." That's Luke chapter 19, verse 17. Remember David before he became King David? Before David became King David, he was a shepherd.
Yes.
And he was faithful over the little. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. David, before he became the second king of Israel, he had to be faithful with the very little. He didn't start at the top. He didn't start at the top. There's an old, Dr. Hunter, there's an old African proverb, and this old African proverb, it says you don't climb the tree from the top.
All right.
And that's right. You don't climb the tree from the top. You climb the tree from the bottom. You've got to be faithful with the very little.
Okay.
1 Samuel chapter 17, look at verses 28 and 29. "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Why? Now they are at the front of the battle, and Goliath is mocking Yisrael. He's mocking Yisrael. Now, but David's father sent him to the front line to his brothers to take some food to them, and you know, David's father wanted to see how they were doing. So David now he's gone up to the front line, and listen to how his brothers talk to him. I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 28. And Eliab his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou hither? Why you come down into the front line, David?" Look, now this is Eliab. David's bringing him some food, man. His father sent him to take some food to him, and he's mouthing off at David. And he says, "And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?"
Yes.
See, he's mocking David. David took care of a few sheep. The other people might look at what you're doing as very little. It doesn't amount to much. They might despise and belittle. But no, David took care of those sheep. The Bible says that when a bear or when a lion or when a wild animal came after the sheep, David slew the bear. He slew the lion. See, he was faithful with those few little sheep. Look at verses 34. Go down to verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep." Remember, a few little sheep. "And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock." Verse 35. And I went after him." He went after the lion when he took one of the little sheep. "And he said he smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Look at David. David is guarding. He's taking very good care of the few little sheep. You see, he's being faithful with his father's sheep. He's even killing lions. He killed a lion to take care of the few little sheep. Look at verse 36. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David was faithful. And David says, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." What I want to show you here is David, he took care of the few little sheep. You've got to be faithful. You've got to be faithful with the little things.
Yes.
Be faithful with what you got, the little things. Look at 1 Samuel 17. Go over to verse 17. "And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah." Okay, now that's just showing you where he took all the food and stuff to the front line to his brothers. And you can read that later on, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 17 through 20. What I want you to see here is David rose up early to take care of the few sheep.
My God.
He was faithful. He was faithful with the few sheep. And we know that God promoted him and made him the second king of Israel.
Yes.
Saul was the first king. David became the second king. See, the Bible lets us know that promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or the west. But promotion comes from the Lord.
That's what he comes from. My Lord. Hallelujah.
Faithfulness leads to promotion.
Yes.
When God look at you taking care of your few little sheep, are you being faithful?
Are you being faithful?
When God look at you taking care of your little ministry, are you being faithful? Or are you complaining? Are you being faithful? Or are you complaining? Are you whining and complaining?
Oh,
are you despising the little ministry that God has given you to work with? You've got just enough to show yourself faithful. Be faithful with the little things. Don't despise your small beginning.
That's it. That's it.
God will raise you up. You have a promise from God. Proverbs 28:20. You have a promise that if you're faithful with the little things, God will give you more.
Yes.
He'll promote you.
He'll promote you.
A faithful man shall abound with blessings. I'm talking about faithfulness leads to promotion. Number one, we've got to be faithful with the little things.
Got to be.
Number two, we've got to be faithful with our money. We've got to be faithful with our money.
Uh-huh.
Even Abraham, God raised him up and made him the father of many nations. But you know why? Abraham was faithful with his money.
Yes.
He was faithful. Look at Genesis chapter 14. I know you want to see that. Genesis chapter 14. And let's look at verses 18 through 20. Genesis chapter 14. And let's look at verses 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Look at verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And look what Abram did. Look what Abram did. And Abram, he gave him tithes of all. You see, Abram was faithful with his money. He paid his tithes. He paid his tithes. Abraham paid his tithes after he had defeated his enemies and took the spoils.
My God.
Abraham had defeated it. He had defeated his enemies, and he had took the spoils, but he remembered to pay his tithes.
My God.
If you want to be considered faithful, we've got to pay our tithe. You can't think that you're faithful and you're a God robber.
My God.
If we're going to be faithful, we've got to pay our tithes. Look at Malachi chapter 3. You can't say I'm faithful and you're a God robber.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, when you're faithful with your money, God will promote you. He'll open up the windows of heaven, and he'll pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive it. And then he says, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I'll stop the enemy. I'll stop Satan from destroying everything that I'm giving you.
Yes.
And I'll rebuke the devourer, which is the devil, which is Satan, for thy sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of thy ground, your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. You see, when you're faithful with your money, God will protect what he gives you.
Yes, he will.
He'll protect what he gives you when you're faithful with your money.
Yes, I'm a living witness. Yes,
he'll protect what he gives you. Number three, we're talking about faithfulness leads to promotion. Here are some areas that you got to be faithful in. Number one, you got to be faithful with the little things. Number two, you got to be faithful with your money. Abraham became the father of many nations because he was faithful with his money that God had given him.
Yes.
And number three, you got to be faithful with other people's property. If you don't take care of other people's property, man, how do you think you're going to get your own? You got to be faithful with other people's property. Look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. You got to be faithful with other people's property. Yeshua, Jesus says that. How do you expect for God to give you your own if you're not going to be faithful with somebody else?
Amen.
You got to be faithful with other people's property.
Got to be.
Look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Luke chapter 16, verse 12. Look what Jesus says. Look what Yeshua says. He says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, that which belongs to another man, who shall give you that which is your own? Good
Amen.
God Almighty. In other words, God is saying that if you don't take care of other man's property, I'm not going to give you your own.
I'm not going to give you my own. What a teach.
You got to take care of business when you go to your job. That's someone else's business. If you want God to give you your own business one day, do right at their business.
Amen.
Don't be stealing their ink pens and their paper and taking all their supplies home with you for free. Stealing it. That's not being faithful. If you want a ministry of your own, you got to be faithful in somebody else's ministry.
Make it plain.
Be on time at church and on your post. Then God, when he comes time for him to evaluate you, he'll give you your own ministry.
Yes, he will.
And he'll bless you because you took care of somebody else's property.
Yes.
But Jesus says if you don't take care and be faithful with someone else's property, he says, how can you expect for him to give you your own?
That's it.
How do you expect God to give you your own if you're not being faithful with other people's property?
My God.
Joseph was promoted. Joseph was made second in command over all of Egypt. Why was he made second in command over all of Egypt? He was placed in Potiphar's house, and he took care of Potiphar's house.
Yes.
He was faithful in his slave master's house. His wife came to him one day to sleep with him and said, Joseph, Joseph, I can't do that. I've been sinning against God. I can't sin against God. You don't belong to me. You're not my wife. I can't sleep with you.
Jesus.
God, he said, Potiphar's put me in charge of everything in this house, but he hasn't given me a right to sleep with you. You see, he was being faithful with what belonged to another man.
Yes.
You got to be faithful with other people's property.
Yes.
And because Joseph was faithful with another man's property, God made him in second command of all of Egypt. And he was a Hebrew.
Yes.
Be faithful with other people's property.
Praise God.
I tell you, when you're faithful, you can ask for God for what you want, and he'll do it for you.
He'll do it for you.
And this is my last scripture. When you're faithful, I'm going to show you in the Word. When you're faithful, you can ask a favor of God, and God will do it for you. That's when you're what? When you're faithful. When you're faithful, you can change God's mind.
Yes.
God can be intending on doing something to you, but if you're faithful and you go to God and ask God, God, please, do this for me. You can change God's mind when you're faithful. Look at 2 Kings chapter 20. When you're faithful, you can change God's mind. 2 Kings chapter 20. And let's look at verses 1 through 6. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death.
Yes.
And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now God has sent the prophet to Hezekiah and told Hezekiah, God sent a message by the prophet to Hezekiah, said, Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're getting ready to die. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Then Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth. He said, remember how I've been faithful, God, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Hezekiah said, God, remember, I've been faithful. That's what he's saying. And Hezekiah wept sore. He was crying, saying, God, I've been faithful, God. I've been faithful. I've been on my post on time at church. I've been paying my tithes. I've been doing what you asked me to do. I've been faithful, God. And look at verse 4. And it came to pass, before Uzziah was gone, the prophet was gone out into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet, saying to him, turn again. Go back to Hezekiah. And tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, because he's been faithful. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears, because you've been what? You've been faithful. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, look at that. He got 15 years added to his life. Why? Because he was faithful. Because he was faithful. God had intended on killing Hezekiah. But because Hezekiah was faithful and he prayed to God, God changed his mind and gave him 15 more years.
That's right.
When you're faithful, you can ask God for what you want. And he'll do it. You can change his mind when you're faithful.
When you're faithful.
Faithfulness leads to promotion. Faithful with the little things. Be faithful with your money. Be faithful with other people's property.
My God.
Faithfulness leads to promotion. And that's the word tonight.
Amen. Well, praise the living God. I tell you, I took a lot of notes. I don't know somebody, but I took. God will promote. Yes, indeed.
Glory to God.
So you gotta know your assignment, stay on your post, and are you faithful? That's the key.
Yes,
are you, am I faithful? So tonight's been a blessed night, and we got another brother I put on the Facebook about a young man named Pastor Irvin, and I believe he's on the line with us. Pastor, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing tonight?
We doing
great. How are you, Pastor?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I did a sermon last Sunday, and I'd like maybe if I could touch on it a little bit.
Do right here.
It's basically, when does God not become your God? And just look at Jeremiah 4:13. God says that Satan comes in like a cloud to blind you. He comes in with all kinds of different things. He comes in to blind you, to make you think. And when he comes in, like on the cloud, he also comes in swiftly. It says he comes in, there's chariots or faster, and then the eagle. You know, so the thoughts of doubt, the thoughts of sin and everything else. That you, every time you open up a door with doubt, you open up a door with some kind of a thought that's not of God. God promised you this, he promised you that. You know, he gave you that, he made a promise to you.
Yeah.
And when you sit and start dwelling on the fact that particular thing that you've been asking God for isn't into your presence, it doesn't mean you haven't got it. So you start to doubt. you start to fear. You start all these anxieties. You start everything else. And that's when you open up that door, and then Satan slips in so fast. Before you realize it, you're cursing God. You're angry at God. You're mad at God. You're everything else, and you're blaming God for all the faults and all the bad things that's going on in your life and everything else, you know? And that's what Satan, when God says Satan comes in like on a cloud, he blinds you. When we stop and realize who's doing this to us, we have the weapons to fight that. All we have to do is stand and recognize the fact that it's not God. God's the faithful God.
Yes.
God brings correction, and sometimes that correction is painful, but we learn.
Yes.
But we learn not to go back and do those things again. And there's a difference.
Praise Him.
There's a big difference in the two.
Yes.
You know, I've been watching on the news, and I've been seeing all these different things that people are bringing up and saying, God let me do this, God told me that. There was a thing I just read. There's a couple that are swingers, and they swap partners, yet they preach the gospel. And they said, well, through our actions and stuff like that, we're able to preach the gospel. No, that's not of God. God didn't say we're supposed to be that in that nature or into that type of stuff. They become blinded.
They become blinded in
the Word of God. Not with the Word of God, but the devil has blinded them because they can't see. They can't see the truth anymore. As long as we keep on dwelling on the fact of the things that we don't have and the promises that haven't come yet, you know, I had a revelation the other day, and I was sitting there and I was thinking about it, and I said, you know, that the saying is, if you can't see the forest for the trees, you know, when we drive down the highway, we see the woods and the forest, and we say, oh, boy, wouldn't it be beautiful to have a house back there in the woods, and we can do all these things and have this nice stuff. But, you know, when you get in the woods, all you're doing is you're looking around and you're just seeing all these trees and you can't see the beauty of the forest.
That's it.
Because you're too occupied. But at the same token, we are walking in our blessings. God has said you can have these things. You know, and we start walking into these blessings. And it's like walking into the woods, and all we do is see the trees. We don't see the blessings because we're so involved with scenes, this stuff and that stuff. If we would stop and sit there like we do in the woods and say, you know, there's that clearing right there. You know, we can cut down some of these trees and fulfill that clearing over there, and we can build a log cabin and look over that clearing into the valley down through there and across over to the river. We can see all that beauty. See, God does give us those things in our lives. But a lot of times we're too busy looking at things and not looking at the blessing that God has given us.
My God.
He says He gives us everything. He gives us all the tools. He gives us everything that we need in order to operate and to work in the realm in which we're standing in. We're standing in our blessings and can't even see it. And the devil keeps binding us because he keeps showing us all the things that's not.
Yes.
But all we have to do is to begin to think, say, in reality, say, oh, there it is. All I have to do is put this over here. All I have to do is pick this up here. All I have to do is remove that. You're standing in your blessing. God sits there the minute He sits there and tells you that and it says you can have it. He's given it to you. The opportunity is right where you're standing. The opportunity thing God has given you is right there. He's put it in your presence. He's put it in your life. The devil blinds you. You can't see it.
Amen.
And then we get mad. And we start to argue with God. Well, where is it? You said, where is it? How come it's not here? if you ask for God for revelations, he will show you. And a lot of times people do ask for revelations. It's even like a word in the Bible. When you sit there and you read the book for 30 years, and all of a sudden you see a verse and it jumps out at you and say, you know, I've read that verse for 20 years, and I've never saw that.
My God.
Amen. Amen.
We stand in our blessings daily. We stand in our blessings daily. The opportunities are around us. They're around us. All we have to do is start looking with our supernatural eye, with that in faith and believing that God has already given it to us, and we can see it.
Amen. We can see it.
It doesn't matter where it's at. It doesn't matter where you're at. I don't care if you're living on a street corner. You ask God for shelter, somewhere or another, somehow or another, somebody has that key, but you're too busy looking at yourself and looking at the situation that you're in, and you're listening to the devil, and you're not listening to the word of God, it's telling you, yeah, you can have it. And you're wondering whether it's that, and he's blinded you, and he's slipping in daily, and he's reinforcing those doubts, he's reinforcing those fears, he's reinforcing all that anxiety and everything else that takes you away from the promise of God.
Brother.
Yeah, we have the sword, and we have the truth, and we have knowledge and the understanding of Christ, and we can rebuke all that. And we can ask God for the eyes to let us to see our blessing.
Yeah.
And I bet you, if you do that, I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're in your office. I don't care if you're in your living room. It makes no difference where you're at. God will give you a revelation into what it is that you've been seeking and you've been looking for, and that you've been looking at it, everything in the natural. You've been looking at the woods, and you're not seeing the forest. You're not seeing it clearly. You're not seeing anything. But you ask God for revelation, he will give you the revelation. Right where you're standing, right where you're sitting, or right where you're driving your car, or wherever you're at, you will see your blessing. You'll see it before you.
Yes. My God.
We walk daily with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's times that when we step out of his grace and we step back into the natural and we start looking at the things in the natural light, we can't see what God has given us. We can't see the direction he is wanting us to go.
Yes.
So when it comes back to that, I sit there and I ask you again, when does God stop being your God? It's when you start doubting. It's when you stop and you step out of his presence and out of his grace. But you know, all you got to do is turn around. Turn around, walk back into his presence. Walking back into his grace, there's people out there saying, God, where are you? God, where are you? And he's saying, I'm right here where you left me. Come on back. And we'll start all over again. We'll start fresh. We'll start new. But you know, we gotta recognize the fact, the difference. We gotta stop and recognize the difference. That what God has told us, that what he said us to believe in, and we don't sit there and try to do it in our own understanding. That we got to continue to walk in his presence, in his grace, and have that faith, and to believe and trust. We got to continue to work on our faith, because The closer you get to what it is that God has for you, the more and the harder that Satan is going to fight. You see, Satan can't stop you from praying and your prayer reaching God's ears.
Yeah. Word.
But the difference is when his answers comes back down, that's where Satan interferes, because he knows if he can sit there and get you to take your eyes off of what you've asked and take your eyes off of what it is that God has promised you, and you start to look at what's not instead of what is, then he knows he's got you. He knows that he can turn you. He can turn your joy into anger and bitterness. He knows he can turn your faith into doubt. You know he can turn you around so that you won't listen to God. You won't hear his voice. You won't listen to him. You won't hear because you're always constantly saying, well, God, you promised me this, you promised me that, and it didn't come. So what am I supposed to believe in now?
My God.
Satan has come in on a cloud. He has blinded you. And he slipped in so fast on his chariot that he's taken your dreams, your hopes, your desires, your home, your love life. It doesn't matter, your wife, your children. It doesn't matter. We see it happening in the world today. We can see it as the world continues to denounce God, and they're looking at the reality, they're looking at the things in natural, and it's becoming more ungodly because he has already been able to blind these people. God says that if we are faithful and stand with him, if we're faithful and trust in him, if we're faithful, you know, each time we sit there and we set somebody out and we lead them to the Lord, you know, that's an army building against Satan. If we can do that, we can recapture this nation. We can recapture parts of the world with the glory of God. We can turn this nation around just by those who've been blinded by Satan. It's not that it says their fault. They've been blinded. They've been shanghaied. They've been trusting in God, and Satan's come in and show that he's a false god. Well, that's not true. We all know that. We have to begin to speak the Lord even at a higher level than we've ever seen him before.
Oh, that's it.
For every one that we lose, it's one more we have to fight against.
Amen.
But for every one that we win, that's one more we have joy with and in the prosperity. You know, and it's in prosperity. A lot of times, like I've been saying, it's not always money. It's in
that's
the spirit.
Right.
It's in love. It's in peace.
Yeah.
It's in the glory of God. And it's like you said, Apostle, it's in promotions. It's in everything else that is godly and it's clean, that is of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. To God
be the glory. Pardon me?
I said, to God be the glory.
Amen. But we got to recognize the fact that when we start doubting and we start getting angry at God and we start doing all these different things and start cursing God, we start arguing with God, and we start all these other things, you know, we got to stop and realize that it was Satan who came in that's interfered with his blessings, with his glory. It was Satan who came in that's turned your mind and turned your eyes and turned your ear away from God.
Amen.
To turn it around. So Michael, those who right now who are listening that have underneath their breath, they've been angry and they've been disappointed and they've been frustrated and they've been calling at God and cursing God and doing all these things in hopelessness. I'm telling you right now, it is not God. Satan has come in on that cloud. You open that door of doubt. You open that door of fear. You open that door of anxiety. He knew what button to push, and he's got you. And you can release it yourself. You can set yourself free right now by just repenting and turning back to God, and he will receive you. He will take you back. And he said, hey, no problem. Let's go. And let's keep on walking.
Amen.
You know, I never understand a lot of times, you know, how God works, and we know nobody does. We nobody understands it. But He just asks us, all He asks us is just to be in faith, just to trust Him, believe in Him. That's all we need to do.
Amen.
And He will take care of us. When we step out of His grace and start grabbing the bull by the horns, and we start doing the things on ourselves or with ourselves, all of a sudden we're working in vain. And I know that working and struggling and trying to get this and get that and to make this and make that, when God says you can already have it and we're struggling, that's not to say we're not supposed to work. But if we work in the grace of God, we get back into His presence, we work in that grace, the work is easy. It says, my yoke is light.
My yoke. Take my yoke.
When we step out, we start taking it upon ourselves, we work in vain. But if we step back in the presence of God and we do the same work, we can rest in Him. The work we still have to work. Don't get me wrong, but it's a lot easier, and we accomplish more, and we feel better about it than struggling to do what God said He would already do for us.
Amen. That's what God said.
Amen.
So
basically, guys, that's about what I had to say tonight. It was the gist of what my message was Sunday, it's just important that we just got to know that we got to get back in the righteousness of God. We got to get back into His grace. And like I said, you know, when you feel that in your heart that you're angry at God, just know it isn't God's doing. It's that somewhere along the line you allowed something in your life that Satan opened the door, that Satan came in, whether it been a doubt or fear or anxiety or whatever it was. All you have to do is ask God to show you, and you recognize it, and you can rebuke it, you can cast it down and get yourself free and walk back into the life of God.
My God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, tonight is the night that we thank God for everything that God has said to these two men of God, and I thank God for them. They're like iron sharpened iron. I hear one's leg sitting at the table. I want to keep bringing food to the table. I said, well, let's just eat. And that's what God wants.
Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
You mind if I make a correction right quick?
Go right ahead.
I want to make a correction. God was not getting ready to kill Hezekiah. Hezekiah was getting ready to die.
All right. God bless you.
And because Hezekiah was faithful, he changed God's mind.
Mind.
In other words, evidently God told him, sent the prophet and said, hey, get ready to die. He was going to go ahead and allow him to die.
Yeah.
But Hezekiah wasn't ready to die.
No.
And he had started saying, God, I've been faithful. I've did this. I've done that. I've been faithful to you. And God changed his mind and let him add it 15 more years to his life. And I remember I said that God was getting ready to kill him. God wasn't getting ready to kill him.
No.
He was already sick. He was sick.
He was sick.
And God sent the prophet and told him, you know what, you're getting ready to die. Get your house in order.
Yeah.
But because he was faithful, God added 15 more years to his life.
Well, you
thank
know what?
Apostle.
Amen. Well, you know what?
I said that wrong, so please forgive me, everyone. God wasn't going to kill him, no.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful to God that it was corrected. It went out into the universe. And as
yes,
I was telling you first, when we're on this internet, a lot of people don't realize, but this, you got an AM and an FM, and then they come in certain loops. Small, but you take the internet is so large and so wide. But when it leaves the earth, it travels a many, 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 many times.
Oh, yes, sir.
and it continually traveling. So what we say, somebody out there in the universe is hearing you.
Yes, sir.
And we just have to, hallelujah. I like you, brother, for what you did. I like it. Because a lot of times I come back and make some corrections my own self. And I,
yes, sir.
I thank God when you come back and you say, okay, Lord, I'd have made a mistake. Let me correct it. And God allowed
yes,
you. He allowed you. But like I said, two preachers that in this day and time that we're now live, the devil is doing everything he can to get the body to understand. God did
yes.
this. God didn't do nothing.
That's
no,
right.
he didn't. The devil's a liar. He's a liar.
Yes, sir. He is a liar.
He's a liar from the beginning. God knew in heaven he was a liar then. He lied up there. He lied down here. So,
yes,
so
sir.
How can you trust in a liar?
You can't.
Can't do it. You can't trust in a liar. And I always
no,
say to everybody, if you love God, stay close to God.
Yes, sir.
And you see, every soul will be saying, Lord, if I have sinned, forgive me. Wash me, purge me, make me clean, make me whole. Because I'm looking for something that God, and that's what the pastor said. See, the things that I'm
yes,
looking
sir.
For God to do for me don't look like they're happening, but they're happening. I'm in no
yes.
rush, but I'm believing God.
Amen.
I'm believing God. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what they say. But you know what? Every time, and the day I came over, and I just said, Lord, my grandson, my second generation has come to my house to be incorporated in the house I built in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And he would dance, and we would talk. He'd come to play with me. I said, I love him. And then I said, okay, it's time for you to go to sleep, son. Sometimes you have to put him down and put... You have to put the children in a certain place so you can keep forward doing what God has said doing. But I want you to know tonight has been a great night. And next time, pastor.
Yeah.
What happened to that young man who was supposed to come back online with us?
I don't know. He's pretty busy. He's working a lot of different things. I don't know if he's online right now or not, but He works with a lot of different ministries. He works with Sowing Seed Ministries. It was an international ministry. And so he's doing a lot of stuff with them. So he said he was going to try to get on, so I don't know. Well, I'll call him and find out what's going
okay.
on.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, one night he's on, so I can extend the time. If he's going to come on, I would like to extend the time because I met a man the other day I'm going to bring on next week. This man told me of his testimony. I had to sit there and listen. He said, I used to be a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when I got shot, he said, I got shot in my back. I got shot 7 times in my body. And every time I was moving, he said, it was still shooting me. He said, they had to go in there, and they said I was dead. He said, his testimony is awesome. I said that, he said, but that was a little, that was a lady dressed in white. He said, and he's in a place where no military or nothing. And she told her, and she told him she took that, when they take your throat and do it, and they said, okay, you about through? And all of a sudden, he said, praise God. He said, the angel told him, said, you shall talk. So we got a lot of things to do, but I want to let you know tonight, I thank God for you, and we'll see you on the other side, okay?
Amen.
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 Thank God for your pastor. Good message. Thank
Amen.
God for your pastor.